welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Ruth Browning. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Praise the Lord. Busy, busy, busy. There's a lot to do in life, isn't there? Yes, we're all so busy. Have to work 9 to 5 if you're lucky. These days it's all over the shop. Pay the bills, cook dinner, wash clothes, clean the house, go shopping, work at church, play the guitar, play the keyboard, serve in cafe, cook a better meal occasionally than baked beans on toast. I mean, it's busy. Busy, busy. So in Luke 10, we see a busy lady, Martha. She was very busy. She had a very important visitor, Jesus. That's an important visitor. And she knew he was an important visitor, and he was also a friend of their family. So she's thinking, right, I've got Jesus. I cannot have Jesus in the house with the living room looking like this. It's disgusting. We have to at least get the vacuum cleaner out. Like, can you imagine Jesus coming in? It's like, okay. Like, it's like, no, no, quick. And then I really want to give him something nice. He's busy. He's working hard. So I just want to make him a nice meal. I mean, that's reasonable, isn't it? So she's busy, busy, busy. And meanwhile, her sister, Mary, is just sitting around doing nothing as far as Martha's concerned. So it says in the word there that she came up to Jesus and she said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the serving by myself? Tell her to help me. Which is kind of understandable, isn't it? She's thinking, well, I want to make it nice for Jesus, and Mary's doing absolutely nothing. She's just sitting there listening. Jesus is chatting away. And look what the Lord said. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good thing, which will not be taken away from her. Isn't that interesting? I want to talk about prayer this morning. I want to talk about that one thing. Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Martha was worried about the dirt, worried about getting a decent meal, worried about setting the table, worried about, I don't know, mowing the lawn. And Mary was just sitting there listening to Jesus. And Jesus rebuked Martha. You'd think that Jesus would go, oh, yeah, that's not fair. Mary, come on, you better help out your sister. But Jesus is letting us see what his priorities are, because there's always something more to do. The house always needs to be cleaned. There's always a few more hours that you can do at work. There's always something. But we are going to have to stop if we are going to find that one thing. Mary has chosen that, the best thing, and we are going to have to stop. We are naturally restless, turbulent, and busy. We're going to have to wait. Don't wait for Jesus to rebuke you before you get serious about prayer. I'm talking about prayer this morning. I'm talking about that one thing, which is getting to know him. Don't wait for a major test to arrive in your life before you discover the power of prayer. Because if we neglect our inner spiritual life, this leads to great loss in our life. It will lead to loss one way or another if we neglect this part of our world. Mary's priorities were centered on listening to Jesus and knowing him. We don't know if Mary was, you know, involved and busy at other times. She probably was. Because Jesus also taught us to be kind to one another and, you know, work hard. So, you know, there's a whole picture here. There's a balance in life. But her main focus when Jesus was there was Jesus, was actually listening to him. There's one thing the Bible says, one thing I have desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. There's one thing that's the most important thing, and that is knowing him. And when we pray, and I'm talking about prayer this morning, that's when we can actually make that connection and come into his presence. And that is just so important. Let's make sure that we have that priority in our life like Mary did. Prayer brings us into the presence of God. It brings us into the presence of our Father. That's what prayer does. That's what it's all about. Prayer brings all our issues before him to be settled in peace. So no matter what we're going through, what are we going through? Is it some sin, worry, weariness, depression, anger? All of those can be dealt with and can disappear when we're in the presence of God. Every single thing we deal with. And we're thirsty. Jesus said, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. John 7:37. We're all thirsty, whether we realize it or not, and prayer will quench that thirst. It quenches it. That inner restlessness, that hunger for something that we try and get in other places. I've got to go to the shops. If I just get that thing, that'll make me feel better. There's a restlessness whether we, you know, try to shop it out, or we try to eat it out, or we try to drink it out, or we try to talk it out. There's a restlessness in all of us, and we all have different ways, but prayer quenches the thirst. When we actually spend time in his presence, we're just good to go. Prayer releases victory in our lives, and prayer humbles and changes us. When we pray in spirit, in truth, truly and humbly before God, he starts to change us, which is exciting because we all want to be different. Well, I want to be different. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." So again, it's that thing of just stopping. Matthew 6, 6 says this, "When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly." When you pray. So when are you going to pray? When is that? Because some people tell me their lives and their what they do in their daytime. I think, when do you pray? Like, how? When? When do you pray? We all need to have an answer to that question. When does it work for you? I'm not talking about sort of once a week. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. We just want to pray all the time. And of course we do pray all the time. You know, we can drive in the car and pray. We can be in the supermarket and feel like, oh, I'm going to pray for that person. That's great. But there's also got to be a time when we can really be still and do what this verse says, go into our room, whether it's a private room or a little retreat that you might be blessed with, or, I don't know, a mountain. Jesus went up to mountains. When you pray, shut the door. So that's like you've got to get the phone and put it in another room. That's what I found. I've tried even on silent. Doesn't work because, you know, I think, right, phone's on silent. Just leave it over there. And I've got, you know, my bedroom. I pray in my bedroom. I've got a great spot. And then I just hear it rattling on the table. You know, that little rattle. And you go, wonder who it is. You know, it's just so tempting, isn't it? It's just like, well, I just see in case it's an emergency or something and just have a quick look. You know, the only way is it's got to be in another room on silent with the door shut, like a long way away. It's the only way for me anyway. So because that's shutting the door, because these days the door is to the whole wide world is that in your fingertips. So that works for me. But he says, you know, to shut the door. The devil will attack your prayer time ferociously. Ferociously. You go to pray. I am telling you, you will be like, everything can happen at the time when you pray. Like the whole world falls apart if you want to pray. And then try and pray with a friend. It's like, it's near impossible. He doesn't want you to pray. So everything's going to come up. Whether it's somebody comes to the front door, or I can remember when I had little children, my prayer times was very tricky.
And I remember that you'd have like, okay, one, you know, we've got Hudson and Eleanor at preschool, and I've got Luke and Bethany at home, and they're just having a sleep time, and oh, they've managed to fall asleep together. Oh my goodness, there's no one here. There's no one here. And I just think, I can pray. And I can remember then hearing little like a knock on the door, and I'm like, I feel like saying, go away. This is the only hour I've got this week. Like, I never said that, but you know, that it was very, very precious time. So, yeah, that was my husband. No, it wasn't. But yeah, you're going to have to shut the door, and you're going to have to fight for that. And be determined that you'll find that time, and you will, but you will have to fight for it, because, you know, whether it's the phone or the door or even just, I can't even pray very well with the broom too messy, because, you know, you go to pray and you're like, oh, that's, what's that? Oh, dear, you know, like you said, it's like, I just like things to be fairly set and organized. So there is, you can hear when you pray, go in your room and shut the door, there's a little bit of preparation there, isn't there? You know, for me, that means just the room has to be just, not perfect, but just sorted, and that's, and the door's shut, and this is, I get ready because I'm excited. I want to go and meet Jesus. I've shared before, but it's worth sharing again because I like this guy, Major General Sir Henry Havelock, who is actually a relative of mine, distant relative, long time ago. But he was a hero and a British soldier, and he was leading a rescue, actually, in India of some people that were under siege. And he marched through India to rescue these people. So he's a bit of a family hero. And then I found out he was a full-on Christian, which was so cool because I got a hold of his book, because all my family are all called Havelock. There's lots of Havelocks in my family. So when I found out, I never heard he was a Christian. And then I just found out something about him, like, the guy's a full-on Christian. So that was great. So I bought the book. I bought like about 10 copies about Henry Havelock and what he did. Hey, Dad. So who's my dad's John Havelock South. They can't look here. Oh, here's about Henry Hunter Havelock. And my brother, I'm saying, this is your namesake. Gave a book. It's a great witnessing tool. Anyway, good old Henry Havelock. It was recorded that Havelock started the day as he always did, invariably secured 2 hours in the morning for reading the scripture and private prayer. He was at war. Talk about busy, and he was the general. I think he had a few things to do in the morning before they marched off to war. A few, you know, several, what are they, adjutants and lieutenants. So, you know, we really need to talk about this. 2 hours at war. If he can find 2 hours in the middle of a war, we can find some time, I think. Every morning, if the march began at 6, he rose at 4. If the march began at 4, he rose at 2. I know. Good guy. Praise the Lord. So we find this time. It's not rushed. We've got some space. We set that time apart. We've planned it when you pray. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It's not hard to pray. God's teaching us to pray. He wants us to pray because he wants to be with us. Draw near to God. When I first started to pray, I felt like there was no one there. I thought, is God listening? Like, what? How does this work, you know? But this verse was very encouraging to me because I thought, well, I want you, God. I was, my heart was like, God. Like, I was reaching out to God. And then I realized, draw near to God. I'm to God, so he's coming near to me. How encouraging is that? He's meeting us. I mean, he's already met us. You know, Jesus came all the way to earth. But that was very encouraging to me, to know that God will, the closer we grow to God, the stronger the desire to pray, and the closer we feel to him, the more we're aware of his presence. It's really exciting. Go to your place of prayer not only to enjoy spiritual delights, but simply to please the Father. That was written by a lovely lady called Madame Guyon. I hope I have that right. She was French. Madame Jean Guyon was born in 1648. She's a very spiritual lady. She wrote some very good books that I enjoy reading. And she was forced into an arranged marriage at the age of 15 to a wealthy 38-year-old man. And this man and this man's mother did not like her Christianity. They did not like her praying, and they persecuted her intensely to the point where they knew that her power came from prayer. So they refused to allow her to pray. And you think, how did they do that? They had maids in those days. They had people around. And so they had a maid that was with her every minute. And every minute, and if she so much as stopped to go, no, 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 they could see. She wasn't allowed to move her mouth. And even just, she was just quiet and just trying to pray inside of her mind, they interrupted her every minute. All the time. This went on for a significant period of time. And I've just read, I'm like, oh, the horror. Like that's, you know, we've never had the devil attack us that much that we even have someone there to stop us from even having 1 minute of peace. So that's was her life. And eventually she was released from that situation. I think her husband died, and you can read her story, and she's an amazing woman. And she, you know, obviously is very spiritual. And then, of course, she got persecuted by the church because she said that, you know, God wants us to spend time with him and pray to him. So she was eventually put in prison. I mean, she was amazing, but she was so excited about prayer and so determined to pray and to get through that kind of situation. And just her heart. It's so exciting to read about people who pray a lot. So we've got to allow God to reveal us to him. He wants us. He wants us to see him. He wants us to have experiences with him. It's really exciting. So let's not resist that. Let's not resist that leading to prayer. Let's not believe the lie that I don't want to pray or I'm not that spiritual. It's everybody. Everybody wants to pray. I mean, Matt and Sarah, they've just got married. Can you imagine if he said, look, I don't really want to talk to you, you know, maybe once a week, but if you don't mind, just cook for me, whatever. We don't want to talk. It's like, what? We need some serious marriage counseling. I mean, that's just weird. Like, you love someone, you want to be with them, you want to talk to them, you want to spend time with them. That's just normal, right? You love to pray. If you don't think you love to pray, you've been deceived. We just have to learn that new spiritual way to connect from this physical place to a spiritual God. But we are spiritual people. So once we learn that, it becomes very exciting. And notice here it says that he's in the secret place. That's the place that we don't quite understand because it is a secret place. It isn't as basic as talking to your wife. You think, oh, well, if it was as easy as talking to my wife, I'd pray all the time. It is a secret, but it's an exciting secret. It's worth discovering, that place of prayer, that place where you start to experience a connection with God. And notice also it says that your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. He wants to reward us for praying. So it's great enough just to pray without any other reward. But the rewards that come as we spend time with him, the results, I'll get on to that, but it's very exciting to see what God does. Psalm 119 verse 10 says, with my whole heart I have sought you. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. With my whole heart I've sought you. I want to see your face. I want to see the expression on your face when I pray to you. I want to see your smile, your strength, your courage. It's all on someone's face, isn't it? And it's so exciting when you pray and you get a sense of what is on God's face, how he's responding to you. That's what we want to see. So first we make that decision to pray, and we pray because we love God. He is our Father. We pray because it's a relationship. The second point I want to say is that just to pray the Lord's Prayer. Now, the Bible says, you know, 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence which we have toward him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions which we've asked of him. It's like, wow, that's just blow away kind of promise, that one. If we know that he's heard us, if we know we pray according to his will, then we know we have it. Well, what's his will? The first place to start with in that is the word of God. Just pray the word of God because that is his exact will. And one of the easiest ways to pray the word of God is to pray the Lord's Prayer. That's how he taught the disciples wanted to know how to pray too. How do we pray? And he said, pray the Lord's Prayer. We've actually got copies of this. So you can grab one of these for you or your children or grandchildren. If you don't know, we teach the children, Kids 101, they're all learning the Lord's Prayer. I pray the Lord's Prayer all the time. I use this as a template. This is how I pray. I just find it easy. Our Father in heaven, I just start with that. God, Father, connect. My Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I start with worship. I'm not going to go through and teach that right now. I've done that before. But that's a great place to start, because this is the Bible. So if you're praying this, you know that you're praying right. You're praying God's will, and you can extend it. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's like God wants us to talk about what he wants done on this earth. You know, whether it's the Batu Foundation or children's ministry, he wants us to work with him, which is natural. I you know, as a grandmother, I love being a grandmother. You know, when the kids come and they go, Granny, can we cook with you? Because we do cooking together. I'm like, yeah. Because they like working with me. It's fun. I get a kick out of it, watching them make a big mess. I don't mind they make a big mess because I'm the granny. I have to clean it up once a week. So they make a big mess and they get a sense of satisfaction. I mean, I could do it on my own. It would be quicker and it would be less mess, and it would be we'd still get the chocolate chip cookies. But I'd rather do it with them. And it's good for them to learn to do it with me. So people say, why doesn't God just do stuff? You know, why do we have to pray about it? Because he wants us to work together, like any father. He wants to join in with us. And yes, we make a mess when we do the will of God sometimes. Like, I don't think this is kind of what you had planned, was it, God? Like, this just seems kind of messy. It's like, yeah, well, that's okay. You'll get better. Just like the kids, you know. We make a mess. We eat the cookies before they're even cooked. Sometimes I'm like, why have we only produced 5 cookies? I don't know. What happened? And it gets to the stage where when I'm cooking with the kids and I'm doing the dough and I let them make the little circles of dough and put it on, and if I have to turn to do something, I learnt my lesson, I take the tray and I'll just pop over here and do this, because if I left it there, in it all goes. So you gotta watch them. So yes, praise the Lord. So that's just such an exciting promise. And so what we have to do is, you know, beyond the Lord's Prayer, is just search the scriptures. And if we don't know what to pray, pray what's in the Bible. There's so many prayers in the Bible that we can pray exactly. You know, for example, I came across this one in all my studies, 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Paul said, pray for us, that the word of God may run quickly and be glorified, and that we may be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. There's a lot of unreasonable people around these days too. So he's just praying for his ministry as a pastor, as a minister. So you just read that and you go, oh, that's something I can pray. I'll pray for my pastors. I'll pray for my leaders. We need you to pray for us. You know, there was one book that said, you know, if people don't like their pastors, it's probably their fault. They're probably not praying for him, praying for them. Ian Bounds, talking about this, says the church is looking for better methods, but God is looking for better men, and I would add women, but that was a while ago. There was a man sent from God, his name was John. There wasn't a ministry like, we need someone to do this job, so we need to be praying for these men of God. We need to be praying for the next generation. It says, Paul said, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run quickly. We need to be praying for the next batch of ministers that is coming up. That's just something that we can pray for. So get into the word of God, and you will not just pray the Lord's Prayer, but there's all sorts of different prayers that we see. Paul says, I pray that you will be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of God. There's a prayer. So pray that prayer. And then you know you're praying the will of God. Just put in the person's name who you're praying for. It's so exciting. There's so much to be done. Now, I did want to mention sometimes, you know, I talked a little bit about the difficulty of coming to prayer, but there's also just sometimes distractions when you are praying. So, you know, the other day I was praying and I started to think about Anne Boleyn. Anne Boleyn was one of Henry VIII's wives and she got beheaded. Yeah. Right? I just saw some little thing on Instagram, you know, I saw about her being beheaded, one of the Henry VIII's wives, and I hadn't even watched a TV show about it. I thought about it, but then I thought, no, I don't need to. Her head's off. She's gone. Like, I hope she's saved. But you know, it's just a historical curiosity. Well, I wasn't even, you know, it's not like I was watching something bad or evil. It was just a random thing. And I'm praying and I'm starting to think about her. what is that? Like, why does that happen? Does anyone else have these random thoughts? Like, just the randomest things that pop into your brain when you pray. It's like, these are distractions. Now, sometimes some of those distractions, I find the best thing to do is to write something down. So if I start to pray and I'm just starting to get into the presence of God, and then I think, oh, I forgot to put the washing on the line. I have a pen and paper nearby, and I actually write things down. So washing on the line, ring that person, do that. So just get them out of the way. I find that easier than saying, don't think about it, don't think about it. I find it just, I just write it down, because sometimes I think the Holy Spirit's actually saying to get some things done. So I just write those things down and get them out of the way. And the other thing that I do when I'm praying and trying to keep my focus on the Lord is I use the Word of God. Because sometimes if you're praying and then you start thinking about other things, I just go back to, I get a scripture. Thank you, God. Yours is the majesty and the power and the splendor and the glory. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. I just start to say scriptures that I've memorized, or read them if you haven't, and then I find my focus is back on God again. So it's a skill. You can hear that. It's a skill to learn to bring your heart, to gather your crazy mind and focus on a spirit, the spiritual realm. But if you can learn this skill, and like I said, just start with the Lord's Prayer and keep expanding the skill and learning how to keep focused on God and how to keep praying, it's just a really exciting journey. And it's exciting to see what God is going to say and do. So pray the Word of God. Number three, pray in the Spirit. Jude 20 and 21 says, But beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26 says, we don't know how we should pray, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit will teach us how to pray as we're going. He'll give us assurance. He'll speak to us. He'll guide us in prayer. We'll get a sense of what to pray for. And we need to learn. That's another skill, is to learn, what does the Holy Spirit want me to pray here? I get people ask me to pray for things sometimes, and I'm like, okay, I just wait. I tend not to say, I mean, I can pray for someone, but I don't tend to say, if they say, can you pray that this person's healed? I go, I'll go and pray. Because I need to have a sense of what the Holy Spirit's saying to me and where my faith is. Because I know that if you have faith, all things are possible. But sometimes I don't have faith for something. And that's not necessarily my fault. It may be that that's not what God wants to do. Seriously. I need to kind of wait on God and get a sense of what can I believe for here, Lord? You know, sometimes someone wants to be healed, but they're going to hospital to have an operation. And I'm like, I think they're going to need the operation. That's where my faith is at. But I can pray the doctors do a great job. We've got to be wise in our prayer life. We don't just sort of blithely pray, oh, yeah, give me $1 million, God. And it's not going to happen, and we kind of know it, but we pray it anyway, and then it doesn't happen. And then we lose faith in our own faith. We don't believe ourselves. We've got to be listening and learning what God is saying, and listening to people who do know. Get in agreement. Talk to someone. Can I pray? Can we agree about this? God will show us. I remember one time I was at home, and this was when we were in Sydney, and a lady just came to my front door and said, Ruth, she was in our house church at the time, and she came to our front door and said, Ruth, you have to pray for me. Her husband just been in a terrible car accident. She's in a terrible car accident. They don't know if he's going to live. They don't know if he's going to make it. I said, all right, let's pray. And I remember just stopping, and a little bit like Robin had, I just went, he's not going to die. I just remember it was so clear in my heart. And I wouldn't dare say that to someone unless I was sure, because, you know, I don't want to say the wrong thing. But I felt so strongly from the Holy Spirit. So I just said, come on, let's pray. I go, he's not going to die. She goes, really? I go, no, he's not going to die. Let's pray he gets healed. But I heard it from God. So I was able to pray that with her. And it was very, very serious, but he didn't die. Praise the Lord. So we need the Holy Spirit to pray. We need to, I'm not even going to go into praying in tongues. That's another whole exciting journey. But we don't always know how to pray. We can pray in tongues. We can pray with groanings. It says there, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes we're just groaning. Just thinking of someone who we've been praying for 50 years to get saved. It's like, oh, we just groan. You feel like groaning. In my studies of all of this reading, you know, when you read all the greats and all they're praying for hours and hours on end, you can actually get a little discouraged. You know, you sort of like, I'm a worm. I'm not doing anything. And I don't want you to be discouraged, because I felt a little discouraged reading about some of these guys. They like pray for hours on end. They're in the middle of a meal. Like, oh, I got to pray. And I'm going, I usually don't need to pray when I'm eating. Like, you know, you can sort of compare a little bit. But the best thing to do in this situation is not be discouraged. Just start where you're at. So at one point in my studies of this very word, this is the last week I had, I was feeling a little discouraged. And I was thinking about, because then they were sharing all these amazing results. And I was feeling like, I'm not seeing these one get saved, or this one, I've been praying for them forever, you know. And I thought, well, I'm just going to pray about that. Rather than just sit here and go, I don't pray very, I should be better. I just went, no, I'm going to go and pray. So I went and prayed about wanting to pray more and prayed about wanting to see more results. I went, God, I really want to see. And I just cried out to God. So if you're sitting here thinking, well, I need to pray more, I don't pray, pray about that. Go and tell God and say, God, I'm really bad at praying. Can you help me to pray? Because I'm bad and I never know when to pray and I'm so busy. I never have time. Like, pray about that. You know what I mean? Don't be discouraged. Press into God and find out what he wants. We must be sure that we pray in the Holy Spirit, that we let him pray through us, and that we pray in the wisdom, earnestness, intensity, never-wearing persistence and resistless power of the prayer that he imparts. Then our prayers are the mightiest power on earth. That was Torrey that wrote that. Our prayers are more powerful than anything on the earth. We can change so many things. Even we can change ourselves. Even we can learn to pray. That's a mighty prayer. The disciples asked Jesus that. Teach us to pray. There's a mighty prayer. Help me to want to pray. Maybe you don't even want to pray. God, I don't even want to pray. Or maybe you don't want to pray because when you pray, you get convicted of sin. Just confess it and deal with it. God doesn't like it when we try to pray, but we're kind of, I'll talk to you, God, about this, but can you not talk to me about this area of my life because I don't want to talk about it. God's like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. You can't make a bargain with God. If your prayer life is very uncomfortable, maybe that's the problem. You've got to be completely open. You've got to be completely ready for what he's going to do. But listen, I just love the concept of how mighty our prayers are. We can do things. I find it exciting what I can do. Especially with agreement, if I can get someone to agree with me, it says, if two of you agree about anything on earth, it will be done for you. I'm not going to go into all of the power of agreement and how to do that, but that's even more powerful than praying on our own. If you really believe something will happen and you have someone else who believes it, it's going to happen. You can change our society. We can change things. Things that bother us in society or bother us in our job. I've seen bosses removed. I've seen judges. I've got the names of judges. Makes me angry. If you get angry about something, that's because you meant to pray about it. Don't just get angry and have a rant to the neighbour about it. Pray about it. Find out the name of that particular issue or judge or boss or company that's corrupt or whatever it is, and pray about it and believe, and you start to go, that's going to change. I've prayed about things and then I hear, read in the paper, that person resigned. I'm like, whoa, was that okay? And I'm like, was that me? Like, you know, it's like, it's really exciting what we do. I'll just finish up on this story of one great woman who I love, Stormy O'Martian. Some of you might have heard of her. She's a great woman of prayer and faith. She was abused as a child. She had a very difficult childhood. And she then married, and her husband also had issues. So she said, our marriage was basically a war zone. he had issues, she had issues. She thought, we can't do this. So she decided to leave. But she was always praying her favourite prayer. She didn't leave him, but she kept praying. She was in the process of thinking, that's what we've got to leave. She said, I used to pray my favourite prayer, which was this. Change him, Lord. And finally one day the Lord spoke to me. And he says, why don't you pray my favourite prayer? And she's like, what's that? Change me, Lord. So she started to say, change me, Lord, change me. Help me to be a better wife. And she said, the Lord showed her that he would use me as an instrument to help him. So then she started to pray for her husband, and then she started to ask him what he'd like her to pray for. So when he was going to work, she says, honey, I'm going to pray for you today. What would you like me to pray for? And he's like, oh, okay, you can pray for this. So she did. She started to pray and pray and pray for her husband, and she saw results, so much so that she wrote a book about it. She prayed so many great prayers, she wrote a book called The Power of a Praying Wife, which some of you, who's heard of that book? It's a good book. It's a solidly good book. And she's got all these prayers that she wrote down. Now, normally we can pray from our heart, but it doesn't hurt sometimes to pray prayers that come from other people's hearts, especially if you, you know, add in your own little bit. So I've prayed every single prayer in that book for my husband, every single one. And see, darling, see, it helps. And and then you buy the book Power of a Praying Husband and you give that to him. So this is, it works both ways. But so that was exciting. Their marriage was saved. They've been married for 40 years because she started to pray for her husband instead of complain about him and try and change him. She just prayed. She prayed for him. She prayed for him. We need to pray for our husbands, pray for our wives, pray for our bosses. Pray and see a shift and a change. And then, this is exciting too, then she also believes in prayer partners. Now, we've been talking about this year. We've got prayer partners, we've got prayer squads, we've got prayer groups. She had some prayer partners. You need to find someone you can agree with. Okay, I haven't got time to talk about agreement, but for example, if an evangelist comes to me and says, let's believe God, we're going to get 50 people saved this morning. I'm like, I don't have that faith. He needs to go and find another evangelist. You know what I'm saying? You got to find people that you click with. It's not right or wrong. It's just, I'm not with you on that one. So you got to find people that you agree with and that you have the same faith. It's like, yes, yeah, you got, yeah, yeah. Do you agree with that? Yeah, I do. Yeah. It's really exciting. But she found a group of ladies, and there were some of them that they agreed with. And they decided to pray about that book, The Power of a Praying Wife. Now, I think she might have been in California. But she just wrote a little book. There's a lot of Christian books out there, especially in America. And it's just a book about a wife praying for a husband, and there's a lot of prayers. Sounds like quite a good book. But she said, I just got it in me. I said, Lord, pray that this book would go all over the world. And she prayed it with her prayer partners. They went, yeah, yeah, they agreed. This is the power. She said, yeah, let's do it. So they prayed that it would go all over the world. That book, and she eventually wrote other books, Power of a Praying Husband, The Power of a Praying, you know, a whole series. That book is in 33 languages all around the world. All around the world. And get this, it has now sold more than 23 million copies. And that was when I heard her being interviewed. That was a few years ago. It might be more now. And her comment was, no one can make that happen. Only God can make that happen. Because she was praying. She said, my prayer life is exciting. I'm bubbling with life because the Holy Spirit guides me on how to pray. You couldn't, you know, that's just one woman's story on saving one marriage, praying that, and then praying that she could impact other marriages all around the world. That is the power of prayer. And that's what God wants us to be involved in, and it's very exciting. So this morning, I want us to agree together that we are going to be a praying church. Jesus said, my house should be called a house of prayer. And it's not just talking about us praying together as a corporate body, but all of us praying in alone, in pairs, in groups. Let's be a praying people. Amen? Praise God. Now, just before we finish, I actually want to pray the Lord's Prayer together. I don't know that we've ever done this in church. So let's all just bow our heads. Some of you, if you're young and you can do it, you might like to even kneel. And let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Hallelujah. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Bless God.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Jesus.